Sorry, I just felt it needed a bit of dramatic. You see, you appreciate that, Tal. I see, I know that. It's the Manchester graduate in you coming out in the place. It's wonderful stuff.
It's like introducing a horror film in the dark corners of a dark glass.
Yeah, exactly. And it has to be said that we've been spreading the word because quick introductions, and indeed for those people who've got somewhat restricted memories, in the studio we have a quintet of quality. We have got Claire Margerison.
Hello.
Hello.
Tessa Snart.
Hi.
Who's from Glinton. Just outside Peterborough. hasn't quite achieved the notion of having a Tallulah Rendell concert there, but I'm sure it'll happen before too long. Yeah. Mary Dancy.
Hiya. Hi, Mary.
Mary has also, actually, together with Tessa, watched the TED Talk. David J. Howe didn't even know what TED actually meant, basically.
I thought it was a film about a bear, no clue.
Oh, no.
Something completely different.
But he's a publisher for Telos Publications, so when Tallulah Rendell's life story is there, it could work through. And we've got ace author and co-publisher, of course, Sam Stone.
Hi, Tallulah.
Hi, Sam.
Beautiful track.
It was. Thank it was you. Very nice, that. That was very nice. I liked the way it kind of kicked in the middle. That was very good.
Well, much as Cameron Tilbury liked his track kicking in the middle. Obviously, that's
kicking in today.
To work through that. Mary, would you like to question Tell on her TED Talk and thoughts and creativity and so on? Because I was moved beyond what. I mean, I thought, Tell, stay with it,
You were such a good presenter as well. Like, I
thank you.
Got really into it really quickly. So I quite liked your ideas about, like, creativity and, like, uniqueness and... Like, I love the music as well that you played at the end. So, question. It's a little bit on the spot. So I suppose, like, how did you kind of come to those ideas? Were they quite, like, natural through, like, being creative and making your own work when you were doing the talk?
Yeah, you're talking about kind of the idea of celebrating uniqueness or...
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I've often felt that there's a pressure for people to... sound like somebody else. So often in the kind of music industry and marketing kind of areas, A&R departments, artist relations departments, there's a thing like, okay, so Jake Bugg's really successful. We've got to find another kind of Jake Bugg kind of thing because we know that kind of works. And I don't know, I just feel like it's really important as a creative person to find out what your sound is, what your voice, who you are as an artist, to be really true to that. And that takes time and that takes exploration, and there's beauty in the cracks, there's beauty in the uniqueness and the kind of unusualness. And I think there's so much amazing music out there that doesn't get filtered into the mainstream because it's not kind of poppy enough or it's not kind of commercial enough. But that's not to say it's not fantastic. I just kind of feel like the mainstream gets really pared down. We get a really kind of dumbed down kind of palette of kind of the exceptionalness that is out there. So I really feel like I kind of want to celebrate that it really encourage people to explore their creativity and kind of whatever form, that shape and form that comes in, if that answers your question. And where that's come from is just, I'm really fortunate in that I've come from a very bizarre and eccentric family who've always been ferociously supportive in what I've done. And I've always... kind of music has always been there for me, but that doesn't mean that within that I haven't had my kind of journey and my blockages and my kind of uncertainty and kind of having to constantly improve and evolve and discover. That makes sense.
Accessing creativity through the creation of space within and how to let go of destructive creative patterns, to be precise. Essential. And I'm sort of echoing, because, I mean, Tal, we go back to the first decade of the 21st century, do we not?
We do indeed.
We've seen you perform in hospital chapels. We've seen you perform in coffee shops in Middlesbrough. Oh, the greatness of the old. So we've seen you sort of break favourite guitars, get them back on there, and still... the quality is always there, unmitigated. I'm not going to feature another Tallulah Rendell track today. Well, actually, we might today. We will. But I'm going to actually move things slightly around because with the wonderful Sam Stone here as well, I'm thinking it's time to unveil Lindsay Gold's tune. Sam. So, you know, let's sort of work our way through this. Sam, would you like to share with us the importance of Lindsay Gore? Because this is from the... In Tal's way, it would be the Liz Brewer perspective. In your own case, it's the Sam Stone-Lindsay Gore perspective.
Well, I think exactly what you just said, Talila, about creativity and about people finding their own voice is so crucial, and we hope that that's what Lindsay's doing. She writes about people, she writes about experiences, and she, most importantly, her first album, which is Heroines of a Future Past, it's called, writes about women, a past, present and future, who are fictional or real heroines. So that's the focus she's gone
now,
for.
Now, Sam, are you ready to officially introduce? Because, I mean, Tallulah, she can sometimes go the route of Simon Cowell. Sometimes she can go the route of Cheryl Baker. Now, obviously, she's much better. But it's always nice to just work our way through it.
I've never been compared to Simon Cowell.
Touch up those pants.
Wow.
Tal, you know we always like to push those boundaries, and that's part and parcel of the whole sort of sequence. So, Sam, would you like to introduce what we're about to hear, which is, of course, from the latest album, Heroines of a Future Past, produced, of course, by Lindsay Gold. What are we about to listen to?
Yeah, this is called Prospero.
Cassandra Mark II, the scapegoat for your ego. They wouldn't listen to the truth of the traitor incognito. Coming out of a cold, vast darkness, moving in, creeping closer now. Once adrift on a rotting carcass, sorcery, a deed most foul. Ariel is his eyes and ears. Watch out, he can take you down.
Jerrison,
yes.
What do you make of Prospero?
I really liked it. It's very individual, very interesting, really well written as well, and like drawing on the influences of Shakespeare. I think it's something that is really clever, very postmodern.
Good, yeah. Nice touch.
Bringing in my English.
Good critique there, very good. Tessa Snart.
I thought it was very creative, and I loved the upbeat music. It was very catchy. Mm-hmm.
Mary Dancer?
I really love the sound as well. I think that was a really, really good track.
Excellent. Sam, it wouldn't be fair to ask you to comment. and equally, David, I think there'd be a sort of slight declaration of interest, sir. But clearly, you haven't really lived on the Midweek Drive until you've actually had your tune played down the telephone line. So obviously, sort of, yeah, because we're listening to it in the full studio. We've got all the things going through. Tal's listening to it down a telephone line. What did you make of Lindsay Gold, Tallulah Randall?
Reminded me of Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. I kind of felt like it was a real, like a theatrical. See it on a stage as part of a kind of a play or a musical or something. It kind of felt like it had that element to it, that kind of drama to it, that sort of theatricality. That's kind of how, yeah, that's how I felt about it.
I think it's a round of applause, though. That's great. And of course, it has resuscitated the line that I've constantly been looking for, which is somewhere along the lines, we do need to have the Midweek Drive musical, or the Midweek Drive the musical together. So, hopefully, you can compose some sort of key tunes for that. You know, obviously, Lindsay will be on the case, and you can start off with. You can go down the line if you like of Stephen Sondheim. They're in a radio station, a radio station, a radio station, a radio station. Just a thing to do, actually.
We're going to go for long. We're going to do more like Pinter and have long periods of silence.
Although, David, it might cause you to burst if you did that, and that wouldn't be sort of good at all. Hold fire on that to make one. So, Tal, the other thing I've been sharing from the perspective of the studio is albums 2 and 3. Yes, there will be a fourth album as well. She's working on albums 2 and 3 of the studio. I think, Tessie, you're quite impressed with the Tallulah Randall albums that you've seen so far.
I really love the design. They're beautiful.
It's more than just an album. It's like a whole lifestyle choice, really.
Simple, but
very effective. That's the key thing. I hadn't realised, Tal, that you're also an expert in terms of a wonderful recon or relaxing system. And is it Qigong? Kaijon?
Qigong.
So why Qigong? And how does that help and work through the whole process?
Qigong for me. So I've been doing this now for nearly, nearly decades.
I think if memory serves, you had graduated with a degree in English from Manchester University about a couple of years before we connected. It's that sort of time slot, really.
It's about that. And so I then went on to crowdfund and release 2 records and do the books and do loads and loads of touring all around the world. And I came back from a tour of Japan and Australia and New Zealand, and I just basically pushed myself too far. I was really broken and really knackered and really anemic, and realized that my system was really struggling with just the level of output of being on the road and performing every night, and just how important kind of diet and exercise and nutrition is if you're going to be kind of really putting yourself out there so much. And so I kind of put a little kind of call out to the universe, and this extraordinary Taoist Chinese doctor appeared on my doorstep, literally, and I didn't have any money at the time, and he used to give me these acupuncture treatments, and he taught me all about nutrition over the course of many, many months, and introduced Qigong, and it was through the introduction of Qigong as part of kind of nutrition and diet and exercise and all this kind of this concept that became really empowering. And so I kind of was a bit like a duck to water. I just sort of dove in and ended up going on a retreat and studying Chinese medicine and Qigong, and then doing a teacher training. And it basically is my kind of, it's really been my lifeline, to be honest, because by having the practice, I've always been able to check back in with myself and know if my immune system's going to be down and my throat's going to kind of start to inflame, or if you, you know, when you're singing every night, or if you're on the road and you're doing 4 or 5 shows a week, you've got to really look after yourself to be able to do kind of 2 and a half hours of singing and all the traveling that goes into it. So it's basically a tool that enables me to do what I do and evolve in it, because through the practice you are kind of I don't know, I could waffle on about this for a really long time.
Tal, the reason I thought it was important to mention it is with Sam Stone and David J. Howe, I have followed their Facebook updates and I thought, I can't like the fact that they're ill again, you know, because it's just not right. You know, I can't say, oh, sympathy. I just sort of let it go. But I thought, you know, clear. So Sam, any questions for yourself about how maybe Qigong could possibly actually assist with your own, you know, immune system and so on?
Yeah, so it's been really low this year. We got hit by this awful flu, which seems to be a bit of a pandemic compared, you know, if you look at Facebook, everybody's got it, and it lasts like 6 to 7 weeks.
Yeah.
And one thing leads to another. I did it with a really serious chest infection, then labyrinthitis on top of it. And David, it was all throat and chest, wasn't it? I don't know.
And we can't.
What can you do to improve your immune system to fight these things off would be great to know.
It's fairly critical because at the end of the day, we can only have top form healthy midweek drivers. Otherwise, we have to take them out and shoot them, and it's not good.
It's not good. Also, definitely.
So, Tal, any advice or thoughts on Sam and David and how maybe it could all boil down to that dietary philosophical sort of aspect?
Well, the weird thing about it is when I first started doing it, I didn't think, oh, my life is going to change or my lifestyle's going to change. But through doing the practice, you're sort of on a biological level, you're bringing more oxygen into your system, so the blood is pumping around your system more, so your organs begin to kind of work that a little bit better. But then on an energetic level, things begin to shift and your sensitivity to situations begins to change. And you suddenly find yourself saying, no, I don't want to do that because that's, you know, that doesn't feel right for me, or I don't want to go and drink, you know, a bottle of wine, I'm going to go and have an early night. Suddenly you start making different decisions, and it's a kind of an awareness about what your body needs, which is this kind of extraordinary subtle shift. And I found that through doing the practice, I just have a much clearer awareness of actually really what my body needs, what food my body needs, whether I do need to kind of not drink or if I don't want to have a late night. All these things that sound really obvious, but it can be so easy to overextend and push your body too far. And like especially stress is just such a full-on thing. You know, all of us really experience stress in all the areas of work that we do. Just because you're a singer doesn't mean life isn't really stressful. Do you know what I mean? Or if you're working in a bank, life can be really stressful. And it's ways of kind of coping with those stress. And stress kind of basically has this way of affecting our immune system, which suppresses it. So when the bugs are kind of going round, it's much easier for us to kind of get sick. So the practice of Qigong is this way of kind of being able to keep the energy, keep the blood, keep everything moving in your system, so it keeps your immune system up that little bit more, and keeping that awareness around the food that you should be eating, and just being a little bit clearer about the decisions that you're making, what's actually going to be the right thing for your body and what's the right thing for you at that point.
Tal, we'll hold it there momentarily because I can see another series formulating here, which is all good. Tal's Tales of Qigong. Sam, does this resonate at all with you?
Giving up the idea of giving up wine.
If your body tells you to.
I nearly cried then.
It's like I never listen to my body. Like, I have celiac disease, and one of the biggest things I've got to do is, like, if I need a green tea, I drink a green tea because I know it's going to make me feel better than drinking a cup of coffee, which I did not listen to today, I must admit. But it's stuff like my granny always says, listen to your body and don't burn the candle at both ends.
Yeah, it's old school. You know, it's old school. And if you listen to it, it actually really makes a difference.
It really does.
You know, as someone that's forever on the road and forever having really, really late nights and having to do all this kind of stuff, it makes a really big difference. And you kind of look at, if you watch like the, I was on a plane going to somewhere and I ended up watching the Katy Perry documentary. And it was really interesting to see what it takes to keep an artist of that level fit and healthy, and like the injections, the vitamin injections that she's having to have each day, the kind of massages, all this kind of stuff to keep you on the road to do that level of kind of output. You know, it's kind of extreme.
And so it goes.
Yeah.
So, whilst we allow Tal to make the decision, I'm thinking lay me down, only you. Trouble, as you know, it's the first one I actually heard. Still think it's a fantastic sort of number. Ghost on the Water, Colourblind Eyes. You make a choice of which one you like us to play you out with, Tal. But Mary, would you like to ask her those last two questions, please?
Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
I always do. You know what? Of all the interviews of anything I ever do, this is always the most unpredictable, extraordinary, and enlightening.
There you go. Next one.
joining us again soon.
I'm sure I will.
Absolutely. So have we decided, apart from brrr, which I don't think we actually have in the system, it's an interesting one, that'll be in the fourth album, obviously. You know, track four, fourth album, brrr.
I'm going to go with Lay Me Down.
Yeah, nice choice, nice choice.
Old school, absolutely. Old school, first album.
Keeping it rolling. Genius.
Oh, and red dress on a white background with eyes lit by the view. And times like these come few and far between for me and you. As you lay me down and your arms are all around me, lay me down. As I rest my head, lay me down. In the quiet of this hour, lay me down. As the morning smiles cut through the stairs, and as day breaks, this picture in my mind is left to play as you lay me down and your arms are all around me. Lay me as I rest my head, lay me down. In the quiet of this hour, lay me down. As the morning comes, lay me down. Lay me down. Lay me
at Southside Broadcasting's Facebook page, the Midweek Drive's official Facebook page, Sister Station, of course, and you're thinking, who's the little cutie there with Spike? It's the one and only Steve Dickinson. Yay!
Hello.
Steve, welcome. And first of all, congratulations. And I mean that in every sense of the word, full congratulations on an absolutely sensational third Sci-Fi Scarborough. I was only fortunate enough to be there for about 4 or 5 hours on the Saturday. Claire Margerison, she's house sitting.
I would have got there at literally, I would have been there for 2 hours.
I tell you,
and it just, I couldn't have got to the station, and I'm so upset that I missed it. But next year.
Claudia Christian just, she was lost when...
I just make that bigger impression, obviously.
Well, clearly, you know, in terms of the whole, the Daleks that were there, C-3PO, you could see the images. They were bereft of the whole thing. The authors were double Academy Award winner, Brian Johnson.
I'm heartbroken.
His first thing was, where's Emma, Claire and the Midwick Drivettes?
Oh.
You know, where's Tessa? I mean, you know, hopefully, Steve, you managed to cope. I know you managed to cope with that, because it was a sensational event. And you know, now you've had a couple of days to respite, although I gather you're still looking after that wonderful Ensign Kim from the Star Trek Voyager series.
He's with us now, actually.
Would you like to have a few words? Because I did sort of talk to him about doing this, but I think he might have just been being polite, actually, on Saturday, where he said, yes, I'll do a piece on the Midwick Drivettes. Sam Stone's saying he's lovely.
Hi, if Garrett is there, say hello to him from me and from Lindsay Gold, because he met us at Sci-Fi Weekend a couple of weeks ago. He's a lovely guy.
What a build up. So I think if you'd be kind enough, Steve, to pass the telephonic device over.
Hang on a sec.
Yeah, well, that's
hang on a
great.
Sec. I shall just go, and he's next door. We have a geeky shop next door, and he's in there.
Hang on. You can talk us through. You can share this geeky shop that we're sort of working.
I've lost him.
He may have
been down.
You've lost the navigator of the Star Trek, of the Starship Voyager. Unbelievable. Well,
he has actually been down the building.
Well, listen, not to worry. At least you can pass on the message that Sam thinks he's lovely and she's not a stalker, okay?
He knows I'm not.
Well, yes, you would say that, Sam. I couldn't possibly comment. You know, it's just a different line entirely.
I'm not following him on Twitter, so, you know, if that counts as stalking these days.
Don't get me started. Steve, as you can tell, lots of I thoroughly enjoyed the whole sequence. From your own perspective, another tremendous success for Scarborough?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's been an absolute stonker this year with the guest lineup, and then the turnout was absolutely mega. Everyone seemed to have a really good time. I haven't had one bad word or complaint or anything like that. And the reaction on Facebook and Twitter, I mean, it's still coming in now. Still scrolling away, still
and as you know, Steve, you can listen to 4 wonderful audio postcards, 1, 2, 3 and 4,
taken
the first few hours of the whole sort of sequence there, which had a whole range of things in there. Norman Lovett, wonderful. Dan Starkey, on top form. Larry Nemechek, of course, back with us next week. Amazing.
Yes.
Claudia Christian, we'd mentioned. Is Larry with you? Has he gone as well? Because I know it's all very confusing now.
Larry's headed off, yeah.
These Americans, they come over here, they realise how good Scarborough is when compared to Los Angeles, and they can't leave, you know.
They get stuck forever.
And it's understandable, you know, it's a different thing.
Yeah.
And as I pointed out at the time to both Garrett and indeed Larry, the great thing about the weather in Scarborough on Saturday was it was just like an alien planet. So what's not to love?
It was, yeah, yeah. We kinned it to Blade Runner and various other grim dystopian future based films. So yeah, it was like that. But the Sunday was the opposite. So you kind of got a taste of both. So yeah, it was fabulous. Yeah.
I can't believe that with all of this, Mary Dancy decided, even though, you know, we've just had revealed that next Thursday's Midweek Drive Morning Edition, which I thought we might have been doing a location report in Harrogate, but obviously not now, because it's Mary Dancy's birthday. But Mary, you chose to go to an MCM thing in London.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, you should be. But Sci-Fi Scarborough 2017 is the
reunion.
Date in the
it
diary.
It could be a reunion. It'd be great.
Exactly. I might be thinking ahead there, because Steve might have said never again.
Never again.
This is number 3 now. Never. No, you know, Andy's just, you know, it's just the. You see, even there, the shouts of sheer panic at the notion of our plans beginning to be laid for Sci-Fi Scarborough. We do like to geek beside the seaside, 2017.
Of course.
Yay.
Of course, yeah.
Well, yeah.
I'm not allowed to talk about it loudly.
No. It's okay. That's all we needed.
Mentally and on private message boards, yes, it is being discussed.
Yeah, that's what we'd like to hear. Sam, you've had experiences of conventions in the States, in Los Angeles, in New York, in Blackpool. Don't mention Blackpool. and Doncaster. Don't mention Doncaster. And London and all sorts of things. So were you at Sci-Fi Scarborough last year?
I wasn't, but I'd be very interested in coming next year, Steve.
Oh, you see, great author.
Might as well get that in.
Great author. And Telos Publications. And Sam Stone can actually... In fact, the joys of the Cat Lightfoot mystery will just be there. It's just fantastic. And, of course, host of the monthly Stone Tape show on Sorin FM and the world. So, Shane Rimmer, of course, who went off to Los Angeles instead of going to Sci-Fi Scarborough.
Yeah, don't blame him.
I do. But in terms of that whole side of things, Sam, my question is, you know, the thing that struck me about Sci-Fi Scarborough, I realise you think of my work, but there was a balance between family, entertainment, and literally, in the words of Andy, who was called a co-host of the whole thing, if you were a millionaire, you could spend millionaire things. But if you just want to actually go in and actually meet, it's very, very affordable. I mean, I still cannot believe, you know, it was £15 for a weekend ticket.
£15 for a day. Or it's £25 for a weekend ticket. So, I mean, and we were running 8 hours a day as well with it. So, yeah, it was very reasonable, you know. I mean, there was, as you say, there was a lot going on, you know, and you didn't have to spend money once you came in, you know, you weren't forced to. You know, so it was, that's the way forward and that's the way it should be, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you say that, I sort of felt that I had to contribute to the Dalek because, you know, which was the most of it. Several Daleks are actually there. You got steampunk, you've got a whole range of sort of factors that are actually around there. You even had Starburst Magazine's very own Ed Fortune.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Of course, yeah. Ed loved it, yeah. He had a great time.
All sort of through with it. So, Sam, what do you look for in a good convention is my sort of key point.
As an exhibitor, as a guest. Well, usually, just to be treated nicely, really, and just to have access to talk to people all day long. I mean, that's what authors like to do the best, you know, like a table to actually display your books and sign and sell books and talk to people. Yeah. And also, you know, to make sure that you've been announced properly on the website, things
because
like that.
Because you did really have an experience, and you don't have to mention the place, but I saw your comments on Facebook. And it seems a bit sad, because I think it was a case you were saying, yet again, authors are given the brown end of the stick.
I was actually saying it in the opposite, because, I mean, Sci-Fi Weekend are treated, the author track was superb this year, absolutely superb. And I have to say, to be honest, in British literary conventions, who are supposed to be celebrated authors, usually get treated like dirt, to be honest. You're expected to pay your own... admission, expected to, you know, you're never announced properly. So, obviously, it's actually preferred Comic Cons myself because they treat you with the respect that you deserve for all of the hard work you put in.
And not just that, I mean, as Steve said, you know, I'm sure our belief is there. Ooh, are you in the middle of the street now, Steve?
Because I'm just running away.
Outside my cafe.
Oh.
It's quieter than being inside because the kids are in there.
Oh, well.
Not closed and about their dome. But yeah, I mean, we had a couple of. Returning authors this year, C.G. Hatton and Jex Collier, and they sold out of their products, but we gave them equal billing,
poster. Yeah, which is perfect,
well,
exactly.
You know,
and
this is the way it should be. You know, we look after everyone because we just don't see why you would want to do it any other way. You know, it's just rude, to be honest. So we
think the same because without authors, the actors, the media stars have no words in their mouth to put out on the screen. You know, without writers.
I think coming back to Alex's question, though, this is David. Hi, Steve. I think one of the things that's very important for a media convention these days is that something you just touched on there, Steve, as well, is you kind of have to make it accessible for everybody. You know, yes, you have to have maybe some, I don't know, Power Rangers or stuff for the younger kids. You have to have stuff from the films, the television. You need some authors, some directors.
Yep.
And it's like trying somehow, and it gets harder and harder and harder, I think, to actually have a lineup that reflects a very diverse interest in everything from film, television, comics, absolutely, radio, classic, modern, new, internet. And I think if you achieve that, you get then a really good buy-in.
And I have to say, that's exactly what Steve did with the whole team at Sci-Fi Scarborough. Tessa, is unbelievable. You actually chose to celebrate your sister's 18th birthday as opposed to being at Sci-Fi Scarborough.
No,
but next year, we'll get ourselves sorted. Steve, it's been fabulous touching base with you, as ever. You've become a regular correspondent now, quite rightly so. I've pulled up the Facebook image we had, and we took the day of Garrett, of course, wearing his Keep Calm and Cling On.
Yeah.
Very good there. Excellent stuff there. So, Claire, would you like to put those last two questions to Steve Dickinson, please?
Yes. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Always.
Fabulous.
It's a pleasure, guys.
Fabulous. And will you be joining us again soon?
And incidentally, Steve, these are real people. It's not robots that are actually computer programs. Because I realise, you know, when I tell you, every name is actually on the list, etc. You know, your Tess is on the list, and so nobody knows.
I am a robot. You know.
Although, yes, as Tess has actually rightly pointed out, Tessa is technically a cyborg. She does actually have technology within her. We'll find out later. Yeah. Anyway. Next question.
Will you be joining us again soon?
Yes, absolutely. Whenever you like.
Well, you did actually ask for several Disney songs and Disney tunes, and that's what we've provided. And I've always wanted to introduce the legend that is Phil Lynas, either with the words, "The plumber still hasn't left," or indeed the Disney "It's a Small World" song. And it is a small world, Phil. As you know, welcome back to the Midweek Drive. Is it Phil Lynas, or could it possibly be John Barrowman?
You know that "The plumber hasn't left" was my old check-in code when I was a secret agent. Yeah. So I'm glad you didn't use that.
No.
Because then I would have to say to you, you know, Colorado is a river, Geronimo was an Indian. And
really?
Then no
I'm
one would
now,
understand
though.
What we're saying. Yeah. I'm glad you didn't go with it. Glad? I don't know. And yet, you did strike at one of my great fears, of course, which is getting stuck on "It's a Small World," the ride, and that song playing over and over again. The amazing thing is that ride is fantastic leading up into Christmas, when they replace the song with Christmas carols from around the world sung in native languages. Then it's great. The rest of the time, it's an exercise in stark terror.
I'm waiting for Lindsay Girl to do a cover version of "It's a Small World."
Yeah, definitely.
It's so annoying, that song.
Yeah, that does not fit in at all to the steampunk musical about the Midweek Drive that she's so busy writing.
Definitely. It's going to happen.
Yeah, with Phil Lynas's bowler hat taking center stage, because that's all you need to be genuinely steampunked. Little bowler hat. It's wonderful stuff there.
Who knew that Alex Lefchuk was responsible for all these murders? Pretty much everyone. Pretty much everyone. But still...
We're now accusing Alex of killing people. Yeah. Like, this is, it's a whole new level.
It's a whole new world. It's so
boring.
And yet, because he'll be played by Jim Broadbent, everyone will root for him to go free. So it'll be...
Just one more thing, Mr. Lefchuk. No. Just one more thing.
That's Peter Falk. That's not really Jim Broadbent at all.
My wife loves your show.
Peter Falk is not Jim Broadbent. And
isn't.
You know, one of them is still alive and one isn't. Hello, Jim. Good to see that you're still connected. Anyway, where did you join us, Phil? How have you... Because this is... Phil tragically can't join us next week for the grand reveal of Massive Musical Delights, three brand new artists that we'll be sharing after the 6 o'clock news, 10 a.m., of course, in Los Angeles, where we'll expect our contributors telephonically to also have the vote in terms of which one they make the sound of the summer.
Wow, that's heartbreaking.
Sirens,
perhaps Phil could pre-record his vote.
It's not often you're lost for words.
No,
Alex.
The good news is Phil is not going to be succeeded by one presenter. Two. It could well be a dynamic.
Possibly. We don't know. It could be none. It could be half dozen. Who knows? Let's not forward to that. Exactly. Let's not plan for that. No. Let's just know whatever's going to happen is going to happen
exactly. In
a Mike Dooley-esque fashion. It's going to be exactly what the universe wants to have happen.
You heard Tallulah Randall saying she put her word out to the universe and a Chinese chap just appears on her doorstep. That's all you need.
That's what happens.
That's the life.
Yeah, we used to call him Mr. Maggie.
And his first sentence to her was, "The plumber has not left." It was such light to hear Miss Rendell. I think it had been a while since I'd heard her.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Where is she these days? Where is she?
She's in the southwest of England, doing very well, and possibly tying the knot. I didn't want to actually sort of start talking about marriage at this stage, but, you know, well done. Congratulations to Lula. We've already congratulated her. But, you know, that doesn't mean the end of one career. Well, actually, it does. it's a different line. But, yes, no, we'll get her back on. She has joined us recently, but not this year, actually.
I don't think I've spoken to her before.
Really? Well, there we are, Claire. You know, clearly, as your series of live shows comes to a mini conclusion, but not for a long while, of course. You know,
we've got to make it last as long as possible, exactly. So I don't like get super nostalgic and cry.
Yeah. And of course, Phil will not have
felt
the return of Jessica Ward either.
Yeah,
because he'll have been at the Los Angeles Breakfast Club.
Someone asked me recently, and I had no answer because it's been so long. How is Michelle Monroe, and has she been contributing to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition? Is that why I've not been hearing?
In reverse, no, very well, and I've actually been in email correspondence with her. She's currently still touring the world on various boats and so on, and we're looking to put together some research packages. So she sends her very best. But yeah, no, we haven't. You know, unless they've done something absolutely abhorrent, and there's only I think one individual who has ever actually.
It is a day of the week that ends in Y, so the odds of that are quite high.
Yeah, exactly. Most of our folk, you know, they stay connected in some shape or form.
I mean, even the guy that set you on fire, Alex, and threw you out the window.
Ricky Ash. You see, I can forgive. I'm big-hearted. You may look askance, but that was a genuine sort of stint. That was done 5 years ago, 6 years ago on a location report. Set the entire arm on fire, you know, with asbestos.
My gosh.
Facebook photos are there. You just dig deep enough. It's shortly before I dressed in a purple tutu.
Nice.
But that's a part of my life I don't really want to sort of go into.
It's a pastime.
Because, you know, Tessa hasn't even got her first year as yet, you know, as the actress said to the bishop. This is the time of the show where we ask Phil to kind of give us those director's notes. So, Phil, over to you once again, or as I said at the start, is it, as David Howe said, surely it's not Phil Leonis, it's John Barrowman, a Scottish bloke doing an American accent.
I vaguely recall that. You know what, instead of me giving the director's notes, why don't I hand it off to a special guest? Here he is, Garrett Wang, Ensign Harry Kim. No, wait, how did he not show up? Did we wait for a long time and he not end up showing up?
Let me put this into context.
Is that what happened? No. I mean, I felt like I was years ago. There was a huge television event here in the States where Geraldo Rivera opened Al Capone's vaults to reveal the great treasures that were inside, all the great artifacts from criminal empires past, and it was on live television, and we waited and waited and waited, and they couldn't get it open, and then finally at the end they got it open and it was empty. That was kind of the excitement I felt waiting for the guest appearance from Garrett Wang.
Okay, let me break this down, Phil, in terms that will hopefully not disappoint anybody. We met up with Garrett last Saturday, and you can actually see how he corrected me on the pronunciation of his surname, which indeed, although it's spelt W-A-N-G, is pronounced Wong. Very strange to
Wong,
believe.
Yeah, sure.
It's on the podcast, Garrett Wong, so we're worth it. I got him to share the tale of him meeting William Shatner. I managed to come back by saying, But that's not the William Shatner we know. That must have been Mirror Universe Shatner. Anyway, which we worked there. So we kind of bonded, and we said we might, if he was around, and he was sticking around with, obviously, the creator behind Sci-Fi Scarborough, Steve Dickinson, we might have done a little feature on him today. I didn't trail ahead, because we thought it's open to options. We can connect with him in some other shape or form. By the way, Claudia Christian sends her best. Bless her. And it's all there. So, you know, we weren't really waiting for him. Had he been there... Had he actually realised that the universe was giving him a tremendous opportunity to speak to the Midweek Drivettes in person, then no worries. But he'd gone. Because even Steve had actually... I mean, and he's looking after him. So he'd like a little, you know, Ensign Kim-esque puppy, he'd gone off into a different line entirely. But Garrett, it's okay. There's always a place for you. Anyway, sorry, Phil. I think I've just addressed that. Tomorrow morning, Dr. Hilary Jones will be with us. Yeah, Hilary Jones. Professor Ingvar Bjarnason, consultant gastroenterologist. We'll be talking about irritable bowel syndrome. Not connected necessarily with Star Trek Voyager, but it's a thought. And Louis Savvy is back with us, together with Sarah Huntley, Richard Fitzwilliams and Ian Lennox. So there we are. I've done my cross promotions. You've now got 5 or 6 minutes, Phil, to share with us what delights you'd like to take us on.
I don't know if I've ever told you this, but Claudia Christian was the guest on the only Chilpack Hollywood Hour never to be heard. We did an entire hour with her, and as soon as she left the building, Dean, who was going to be going on one of his, you know, around-the-world comedy escapades, started looking at his list of things that he needed to do before he left. And now, he was not leaving right after the show. He was leaving that weekend. He was leaving several days later. But while our show was processing, he decided, I'll just look at the list and see what I have to do. And one of the things on the list was remember to turn off the refrigerator, because they were going to be gone so long and they didn't want it drawing power and having to pay for it. So he goes, I wonder which one of these circuit breakers, I wonder which one of these controls the refrigerator. So he just goes to the panel and shuts off everything. And there goes our show, which, of course, was on a computer plugged in and processing. So we lost the show probably 3 minutes after she exited the door. And I said, Dean, go get her back here. You can still catch her. She's on the elevator on the way down. And he was terrified of her to go back. He said, no, that's the sort of thing that'll make her angry. That's the sort of thing that'll make her angry. And I have witnessed her anger before at people, so I can understand. But so we never got the Claudia Christian show. And I vaguely recall it being our best show ever.
Yeah, I wondered why she started twitching nervously when I mentioned your good name and that Dean hadn't.
She's in the movie, as you know. She's in the movie. Yeah,
And I had to, obviously, as you can see, if you've checked out the thing, I had to placate her with our station mascot, you know, just to actually sort of make sure it's there. Oh, I should say the show mascot.
I don't doubt it. Yeah. I don't doubt it. I mean, people do not give, for these performers who give, and then Alex, when they're done giving, you know what they do? They give some more. They, when they have bared their souls, have plumbed the depths of the very truths about what it means to be human in a one-hour podcast form, they do not want to hear that it all was for naught.
Unless, of course, you would say, well, those words that were uttered still exist. It's just we haven't got the technology to recapture them from the ether and the atmosphere as yet. So just say to Claudia,
oh, they're like a ghost. Yeah. They're like a trans-dimensional being. I've seen that episode of, I believe, every single incarnation of the Star Trek series, right? Because there's always one. We've got to get them back. If we can just reprogram the transporter, then we can bring them back, right? From Tholian Web. In fact, there was a Star Trek Enterprise Tholian Web episode that followed that very thing. Enough about that. Let's talk more about who all play in the steampunk musical about the Midweek Drive.
Claire, who do you think Phil should actually play?
I think Phil should play you, Alex. I feel like the showmaster, the MC of the Midweek Drive musical. That would be beautiful.
Oh,
yeah. I think that, Phil, you need to play the big top American exec producer because the music has got to have a plot, you see, and obviously it's got to have
plot.
Yeah, it's got to have something like American producer wants to buy the format of the Midweek Drive to put on as a Hollywood musical. So Phil, you've got to be the Hollywood musical producer who's determined to get the rights to this amazing show to put on.
Affleck has to be Affleck. Tessa.
Well, I could play both, couldn't I? I could do like a split face kind of thing.
Peter Sellers,
two different...
like Peter Sellers yeah. in Doctor Strangelove or Dustin Hoffman in Tootsie.
Sorted.
I thought this was a theatrical production and not
Or Mark Myers in Austin Powers. To play Dr. Evil and Austin Powers.
Nice. True.
We'll continue with respect to that. Mary, any thoughts?
I like I think that's pretty good.
I really need to. I've been on this show long enough. I mean, since, really, heck, I started out on this show as Alex's cue card boy back in the 1980s. But and you might say, why did Alex need a cue card boy? It's radio. But I was a nice kid, and he wanted to give me a break. You would think by now I would have an Alex Levchuk impersonation, and I do not, and I'm going to do my level best when I come back a fortnight from now to have one, beyond the obvious that I drop the word scenario in every conversation I have.
Scenario, paradigm, discourse, or indeed, play around with it, it's all good. Tessa, have you got any questions you want to put to Phil in the remaining seconds that we actually have before I go off and press a few buttons for Sam? And David, of course.
Excuse me?
Well, you know.
We're very open in Lincolnshire. It's what we do, you know. Anyway.
I was just going to say, have you seen anything interesting this week?
Oh, Lord. Anything
that
every single
have I done anything interesting this week?
Exactly.
I built furniture. I weeded. I don't even know how to describe this. My parents' yards became jungles of weeds, and I hacked my way through all of it. What else did I do? I did a lot of shopping. I just took care of my parents and my sister, who are all recovering from various ailments this week. So that was it. Trying to be a duty bound son, and at the end of that trip, feeling very much like Schindler at the end of the movie, screaming, "I could have done more. I could have."
I'm going to go back to your family being poorly, Phil. Have they been suffering from this awful flu that everyone's had that lasts about 6 weeks?
No, I keep them under hermetic seal. my mother had been the caretaker for my father, who's into his 90s now, and then a couple years ago, my mother, as often happens to the caretaker, even though she's some 11 years younger, she suffered a stroke. And was bedridden for almost a year. And then last January, my father had a heart attack from which he was not supposed to recover, and indeed has recovered, and was never supposed to be able to go home and be under his own power, and in fact has and is. And my sister moved in with them to be their caretaker, running upstairs and downstairs to take care of them. And in January of this year, she suffered a massive stroke. So it's kind of on.
It's a challenging time, but Phil,
is not challenging?
Tessa, you open that question out there. No, obviously not. It's just been chilly. Fantastic stuff as ever.
But let me say this.
Seconds
let
ago.
Me say this really quickly to go with the inspirational flow of the show and that whole scenario. That which does not kill me, Alex, only makes me funnier.
See what we did there? Little riff on the joys of Nietzsche. And why not indeed? Thanks to Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis, Jessica Ward, to Lula Randall, Steve Dickinson, and Phil Linus, and you, dear listener. Thanks to the studio, to Claire Margerison, to Sam Stone, David J. Howe, Tessa Snart, and Mary Dancy. And Phil, are you back in a fortnight?
Back in a fortnight.
Did you enjoy the show?
With an impersonation.
Oh, interesting. Bring Me the Horizon, take us out. Lots of new stuff coming through as well. Yes, indeed. A round of applause. David, lead the team. Thank you. So you can drag me.